Hi, I'm Amanda Pacheco.
This is She Love.
Hello, it's Davida.
I'm Gina Lovato.
Hey, it's Alana Dunn.
I'm Caitlin Bailey.
This is Melissa Novak.
It's Sean Jacobson.
Hey, it's Bethany Nicole, and welcome to Sex Party.
And welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Welcome to Sex Party.
Sex Party with your host, Dustin Rybka.
Hello and welcome to Sex Party. I'm your host, Dustin Rybka. Joining me for an all-new episode this week is friend of the show, Allie McDonald. Allie has a podcast that is so new that she can't even remember the name of it. We're going to talk about her new podcast. Allie is a dating confidence coach. So how does a dating coach date? How does she actually date? How many dates is she going on? Where is she getting the dates from? Is it apps? Is it something else we potentially never heard of? Is she hooking up with these dates? Does she have a friends with benefits, or as her sister would call it, a sneaky link that she's hooking up with rather than hooking up with the dates? We're going to get to all of this. There's a ton of value in all of this. If you're in the dating world, you get to hear from a professional how she's doing it. I share some things about my life that, I don't know. We'll see how you guys take it. We also talk about Allie's history with love bombing. So without further ado, this is my conversation again with Allie McDonald.
This week's conversation.
Allie McDonald, welcome back to Sex Party. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. A little hung up on, on the normal like post-holiday wackiness, I think. I'm like having trouble like breaking the fog of war, right? But other than that, you know, I'm pretty good. Pretty good.
I feel like I've been hearing that from a lot of people recently. Like, and I don't even know if it's just the typical holiday funk, but just like the New Year's reset where we had all this time to just like, I don't know, be around people and have fun and also stress and be around family and all of that. And then the New Year starts and you're expected to just like bounce back and go back to work and like be normal again. And it can be a rough adjustment. I feel like it usually takes people a few weeks to get back in the groove of life.
Yeah. Do you think, so as like a dating coach, right? Dating confidence coach, actually. Do you think that this year, with everything we've gone through all the years prior, that this holiday season was a little rougher? Because I feel like I saw a lot more breakups, like within my little personal circles, and then also like just people around the show.
I've heard, and I don't remember the exact day, but it's sometime in December, within like a week or two before Christmas, it's the most popular day for breakups and maybe divorce too.
Yeah. So I actually had a breakup coach on the Christmas special. And I think it's December 10th through Valentine's Day is actually known as breakup season. And it's like
the most
breakups. And, you know, a large part of it is that buying a gift for someone is like the last straw, where it's like, I really don't really want to do this anyway. Like, I don't want to go to their shitty family's house and like eat the shitty bread and all whatever until they break up. So I just thought that this year, although that's like a thing every year, I just feel like this year was different. And from your perspective, I mean, did you have like, were there more people like in your DMs, like, I don't know what to do, or like you're freaking out more because like the world's a little more open now, or was it just the same?
I feel like it was the same on my end, but what I feel like the only difference that I noticed during this time of year was a lot of my clients were feeling more lonely than usual, which is typical around the holidays. People are automatically, you know, more lonely and sad and wishing they had a partner and the whole thing. But I really felt that a lot more people wanted to take breaks from dating apps. I saw a lot more overwhelm with my clients, but I didn't notice any more breakups. If anything, I saw more clients getting into relationships or like going on more dates if they were not taking a break.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I would imagine that tracks. I mean, the last couple of years have just been like lonelier in general, I think, for a lot of people. With all the chaos. So yeah, I mean, everyone's like hooking up. Good for them. That's great. That's amazing. So the last time you were on the show is a couple months ago. Has anything changed since you've been on the show? Any new projects you want to talk about?
Kind of. I mean, I guess. Yeah, I started a podcast just last week, which is a very, very sudden decision. I had kind of had in the back of my head for a long time. I never thought I would actually want to do it. But I do everything based off intuition, especially when it comes to my business, because it has to sound fun for me. So it's more just like part of the business that I'm doing on the side. Maybe one day I'll want to like put full effort into it. But for now, it's just kind of a fun outlet and another way that people can experience working with me without the full investment of working with me.
Right. So what's the name of the show?
Oh God, what is
it? You forgot the name of your own podcast.
It's Girl, It's a Mess. I did forget because again, I've only put out one episode. It's new. I will buy more into it like as time goes on. But sure. Yes, it's called Girl, It's a Mess. I think it's definitely on Spotify. I think I have it on Apple right now too, but.
Well, this is a start, or this is good. This is good. So what was it about your intuition that was just screaming, you need to start a podcast?
I needed to change something up. I was feeling really like, I don't like to use the word bored because I do love what I do. I love doing the one-on-one work and group coaching and all the fun stuff, but I felt like I needed a change. And I just heard this voice inside of me. I was like, do a podcast. Part of me was like, you don't need to do more work. But talking is such a good outlet, especially just speaking out loud. And also I want to share my story more rather than just like, here are 5 dating tips for your first date tonight. You know, like I like to share my story and I think we learn a lot from stories and from what other people have gone through. So I think a podcast would be like a good way of doing that and be able to do like long form things rather than my short 30-second TikTok videos.
Yeah, no, I think that's, first of all, you're really good at all of those things. And I think you hit the nail on the head because what I try and do on this show, although like my chaotic brain sometimes like makes it fun, but also gets in the way a little bit, right? Is, you know, find the value, but find it in the story. I love listening to people's stories and like asking certain bits and pieces that maybe they haven't even thought about if I'm lucky, right? And so I love that. And then that's what we're going to do today a little bit because I thought about it. I'm having you back on the show, right? What am I going to talk to you about? And there's a plethora of things, right? But I think what I really want to know, and I think what the audience would love to hear is like, how does a dating coach date, right? Because I see you and all of your stuff and, you know, I watch your reels and all of the Instagram and TikTok like content. And you are saying like, okay, like I went on a date tonight. It was just okay. Or there might not be a follow. You give these little things, but I like really want to get into it on the level, right? Like, let's get real. Like, how does a dating coach date?
That's a great question. I mean, I get asked that a lot, but I think I date like a normal person, but with more confidence and more standards. I've asked people since I hear this question a lot and people assume like I have one friend. He's always like, oh, Allie's going on a date tonight. She's going to give him the Spanish Inquisition. Like, I don't even know what the fuck that means, but he described it as like somebody who's just like, bam, 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 all these questions, like, you know, as if I'm like this really scary, intimidating person today. I'm not, because I've asked people when I go out with them, I'm like, how is it to date me? And usually, not usually, all the times in different ways, people say like, actually, you're really easy to date. Like, you're really easygoing, you're easy to talk to, you're an excellent communicator. So that makes me feel better. I'm like, oh, thank God. So I hope I'm not scary. But I do have higher standards than I think most people do. Like, I went on a first date the other night and I asked him, where would you ideally like to see yourself in 2 years? And he kind of described where he'd want his work to be and like buying a house and like different stuff like that. And when the question reversed back to me, I started with, well, I know for myself in the next couple of years, I would like to get married. I'd like to be starting a family. And so I didn't hear you say those things. So I feel like maybe we're not aligned and I want to make sure that we're on the same page before we continue. I say on a first date, no problem. And he was like, oh no, I want those things too. He's like, I just didn't want to scare you off. And I'm like, no, please. And so I think that's the big difference in dating me is I'm very direct. I'm clear with my communication. I know what I want. I'm not afraid to ask for it. I'm not afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to walk away. And that makes dating more fun for me because I'm not overly concerned about, does he like me? I'm more concerned, do I like him?
Yeah. I mean, your friend who said the Spanish Inquisition, I totally get that, right? Because it does seem like your real content, like R-E-A-L, like when you're just talking and it's not necessarily like, you're like, yeah, I went on this thing. I don't know. It doesn't really kind of work for me, but we'll see. And like, whatever. It is very, it's a little, I wouldn't say it's like harsh or whatever. It's a little Mortal Kombat though. And I think that's good. That's a good thing. You know, we need a little Mortal Kombat, with dating, because if you're after something and someone's not going to offer it to you, then fatality, that bitch. Right. So there's that. So it's a little Mortal Kombat, but I think that's good. And I think it would be fun. You would be someone fun to date. Right. But for people who don't have confidence, that Mortal Kombat might come across like a firing squad a little bit. Okay. And so, this is let's start at the beginning, right? Like if someone's listening and they just like have had it with dating, or maybe they're into it and they're just needing like better tips or whatever, let's boil it down. So the majority of people that you choose to go on dates with are coming from dating apps or?
Dating apps. Yeah. Okay. I have very rarely gone on dates with people off of a dating app.
Really? Okay. Which apps are you using?
Hinge primarily. I just redownloaded Bumble very, very recently, but I usually go with Hinge. I feel like I found the best quality there, but that's not the same for everyone. I've had clients who hate Hinge and they have no luck. So it's kind of different for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and the thing is like, we talked a little bit about, you know, dating apps and like how to like, you know, weed out the weirdos and shit the last time, but how are you weeding out the weirdos for yourself personally? Like, is there one or two things that they have to answer? Is there something they have to respond as soon as you respond? You give them a 10-minute time limit. Like, how Mortal Kombat is this in the dating apps?
So I don't really care about like how long somebody takes to respond on a dating app. I'm actually really creeped out if people respond right away. Like, why do you not have a life? Like, why are you spending? And it's different if a couple messages are quick responses on dating apps. But for me, I'm like, you should not have your top priority be talking. Your top priority should not be about talking to someone you've never met. Like, that's my feeling. Like, I want you to have a life. I want you to do things. But when we start dating and you have my phone number and I know you're pulling out that damn phone every 5 minutes, I do expect more communication. But just on the app, I don't care about that.
Okay, so is that a red flag then? Is that like this guy's just horny, basically?
In a sense, like anytime I've dated someone who responded right away, they ended up being like very love bomb-y, very intense. And so now it's a red flag for me. But I also look for like the effort they put in on their profile. Like if you don't have a bio and you don't have any prompts, or your prompts have like one or two words, your low effort profile shows me you're going to be a low effort dater. So we therefore will not be a match. So that's a big thing I'm looking for. Also that we want the same things. Like I want to get the sense that you're looking for a relationship. And then when we're actually messaging, are you asking me questions trying to get to know me? Or are you just asking me how was my day? Why are you asking me how my day was? You don't know who the fuck I am. Like, how about you try to get to know me first? So if you're not trying to get to know me, you're not asking questions, or when you are answering the questions, you're very like vague, you're low effort. And I don't do low effort because low effort leads to nothing. So that's what I look for. And I'm not going to be like, you suck, you're low effort, I'm going to unmatch you. No, I just unmatch you. I clear out the energy. You can find somebody else who's like willing to take what you're willing to give. It's not going to be me.
So we don't want low energy, but we don't want too high of energy right away. We need like medium energy, right?
Yeah. Now you're making it feel very complicated, but yeah, I mean, I don't need you texting or bumbling me back every 4 seconds. Like, I hope you have a job that you like. I love men who love their work. Like that for me is huge. So I hope you're working at a job you really love. I hope you're spending time with friends or family, have a hobby, or you go to the gym. Like, and then in between those things, then you get back to me, you know? And then once we start dating, I would like more communication. That is ideal. But even then, I want you to have a life, because that shows me that you, I never want a man who feels like they need me or need a partner. I want somebody who wants a partner, somebody who wants me. And so if I feel like they're really clinging on before they've even gotten a chance to know me and meet me in person and like get to know my brain, I'm turned off by it. Because it's like, it feels offensive, actually. Like, if like when I'm being love bombed, where somebody's like throwing it all, they're like, you're the best, oh my God, giving me all the attention, and we've never met or we've only gone on one date, it's kind of offensive, because I'm like, you'd be doing this for anybody then. This isn't about me, because you don't know me enough yet. So I like it to come in time as they've spent more time with me, as we've had deep conversations. And like, I want to feel like we both earned that attention from each other, because then it feels genuine.
No, that's a huge point. And again, like the reason why I'm being so methodical about it is because everybody is out there kind of like, no pun intended, like bumbling around into all of this shit with like no direction and no like guidance. And with this show, with Sex Party, I feel like if they can come hear how a pro does it and take what they need from that, and like, the fuck, I mean, that's amazing. So did you have someone... because you've said love bomb like two or three times, and I know this is a huge issue. Even in the relationship I'm in, we've discussed like the love bombing thing, because I didn't quite understand what it was at its core. So did you have someone like in your past like love bomb the shit out of you? And so now you're really, that's like one of your radar points that...
Yes, it's happened to me a few times. I could never do it again. Like when you're not in the best like... mindset, I would say, it's really appealing. And I've had clients go through this too, where they have a series of like guys who don't treat them well, let's say, and then they come to me and they're like, oh my God, this guy likes me so much. We had our first date last night. He's already asked me out. We're going out again tonight. Told me how much he likes me. And then we held hands while we were walking back from the restaurant. And he's, you know, already talking about like wanting me to meet his friends this weekend. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I know. And it's a thing like we all want, you know, an ideal relationship where somebody's putting an effort. And so if you went from dating guys who are putting in low effort to somebody who is just like automatically going all in, it feels really good. And then you go through it a few times and you realize it's super weird actually and not sustainable, because it's that flame that starts up really fast and then it dies really quickly. And so now whenever I sense that, either within myself or with a client, I'm just like, nope, it's a big turnoff.
Does it say that you're a dating coach in your Bumble profile?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I think my bio says I am a dating coach, and then in parentheses, yes, seriously.
So do you think there's any correlation to you being love bombed multiple times to the fact that maybe they think they need to be on this higher standard and they just get it wrong?
The love bombing happened before I put out there that I was a dating coach. So no, I think people come... when people date, I mean, even before I put it out there that I was a dating coach, overall, I date people, even like just first dates, who want the same things I want. They're like, I want to get married. I want to have kids. I'm serious, ready to settle down. So I always design my profile to attract that type of person. But ever since I started adding the dating coach thing, I mean, sometimes I'll get a message like, oh, what's it like to date a dating coach? Or are you just here for research? And I'm just like, oh my God, just not even responding to you. But people are more curious than anything. Like men are actually very curious. Like they love asking questions when I'm on a date with them. Like, what's it like? How'd you get into it? What have you learned? Like, it's really cool. So I haven't really gone out with people who are intimidated by it. More so they're fascinated by it.
No, that's amazing. Yeah. So what do you think then, to jump back the other way, what do you think attracted so many love bombers to you? Because I have a thing, it's not love bombing, it's another thing, which we can get to if you want. A certain type of woman apparently is attracted to me. But what do you think with you made it that all these love bombers were just like, I gotta get Allie, I gotta get her? Like, what was that?
I never thought about that. I feel like more than anything, it was just the fact that I was available for it. Like, I think I could be love bombed now. I think if I were to open up a dating app when we get off of this call and I go on, like, I could find somebody who could love bomb me tomorrow and it happened all over again. But I'm just not available for it because I recognize the signs and I just steer clear of it. But back then I didn't. So I was like, oh my God, this is great. This guy likes me so much. He's putting in all the effort. And so I just accepted it.
Okay, so now a larger question, right? Do you think that that's all there is to it, is that whatever we're available happens to us then?
For a big part, yeah, 100%. Because once it was almost 3 years ago, I made a really, really big decision for myself. And this was a few months before I became a dating coach. Because before I just did like regular mindset coaching. I decided that I was only going to date people who took dating seriously. And I would not go out with anybody who wasn't looking for a relationship, who wasn't putting an effort. And it was a big change for me. It was really, really hard. But ever since I made that commitment to myself, I'm pretty sure, from at least my memory, the only people I've ever gone out with were people who are like, I'm ready for a relationship. Like, people don't just try to hook up with me. People don't just try to like take me on one date just for fun. People really try to make something happen. Doesn't mean it always works out, but like that. Wait, what was your original question? Like, where was I going with that?
I asked you, about if what we're available if it happens to us, yes. Right? And then like the love bombing, why do you think so many of that? And then somewhere in there we're like, you know, yeah. we're lost in the forest of love bombing and dating or whatever. But I think, you know, the main thing that I was driving at is certain things happen to certain people, right? Over and over again. But there has to be, I don't know, potentially like a larger reason other than just we're available for it, right? So I think that's what we were talking
yeah.
about.
Yeah. I feel like a big part of it is what you're available for. Like, what are you willing to accept? Like, I do have some clients who say, men just want to hook up. Men just want to have sex. I'm like, that's funny because I don't have that problem. And I have other clients who don't have that problem. Like, why you? And I don't mean it in an offensive way to them by any means. It's more like a self-reflection. What am I willing to accept? So if you get a guy on a dating app make a sexual comment to you, are you still going to talk to them? Because I do have some clients who are like, I'm going to engage in that because maybe it'll turn into something. No, it's not. But because you are willing to accept it, that's what you're going to get. But if you stop accepting that low-level stuff, and it's different if you just want to hook up. Like, if you just want to go have sex for fun, like, do your thing. But if you're saying that you want a relationship, but you are accepting behaviors and people who aren't able to give that to you, then you're creating your own glass ceiling. And if you want to have that relationship, you got to raise your glass ceiling and say, oh, this is you kind of have to do the delayed gratification type of thing. Like, oh, it's fun to get that attention now. It's fun to talk to this guy, but I know he's not good for me. So I'm going to let him go, raise the ceiling. And then all of a sudden, I've seen this happen so many times with all of my clients. All of a sudden, better quality men come into their life. And they're like, oh, dating's so easy now. Oh, they get treated so well. Like, no shit. This was always possible for you. But you're willing to take the bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, and you're dropping so many truth bombs that like the cops are at your door now. Like,
I was wondering if you could hear that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. They're coming to get you because they're like, stop telling them the cheat codes. No, I think that's really, really amazing, actually. And it makes a fucking ton of sense. And if we jump back to, because I do want to ask you about like manifesting and shit. And I feel like we're mm-hmm. like right around there, but we're going to come back to it because mm-hmm. I want to go back to the dating and on the apps and shit. So like, are you, cause I want everyone to leave this episode with something tangible from you. Cause you have so many good things and it's hard to get to it. And within an hour. Right. And so how long is the conversation on Bumble? Because, and I asked, because a lot of people are like, if he doesn't ask me out to coffee, drinks, dinner, whatever, within this amount of time, I'm done. Like, I'm not going to be a pen pal and da da da. So like, are you someone who wants to flesh it out a little bit for like a week, 2 weeks, or like, are you trying to get off the app and into a date right away? What's the timeline?
I say anything more than a week, you're probably having your time wasted, but I prefer less than that. I say within a few days, but I will say I'm not always good at responding back in time. So if someone unmatches me because I'm not responsive, like that's on me. So I get it on both ends. But I will say last night, I was talking to this guy on Bumble and we only had like two or three messages back and forth. And then he's like, I don't know if this is too forward, but can I get your number? And whatever he said. And I was like, not too forward at all. Sent him my number. He immediately texted me and was like, hey, I'm so-and-so. And I'm like, hey, it's Allie. And then I forget I don't know if there was any other dialogue. He just sent me like literally the best message of my life. It was, I plan on asking you on a date. I would like to take you out. I have all these renovations going on at home right now with like my bathroom or whatever. So I'm stuck for now, but I hope I can keep your interest going for the next week until like I can plan a date. And I was like, whoa, because I didn't even ask him. I didn't bring up anything about a date. We just started talking and he was like, hey, this is my intention. This is my plan. And like, this is what's going to happen. And that to me is ideal. Somebody who's very, very intentional. Does it have to be like that for me to be interested? No, not necessarily. But that to me is like the biggest turn on. Like when this guy wants to go on a date, I will show up for the date. Like no question, just because of that level of effort right from the beginning.
Yeah. And he didn't like try to like trick you into like remodeling his bathroom with him or something like, as a cute first date or some bullshit, right? Some HGTV bullshit, right? Grab that speckle thing or whatever. Like, fuck that. No, that's great. Okay. So you haven't been on a date with him yet, but you're planning on going, if he keeps your interest, you're planning on, okay. So then are you guys still texting or is it, that's too soon? Cause you just like started talking last night.
Yeah, he told me good night. He's like, I need to go to bed, blah, 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 good night. And I was like, oh, okay, good night. Texted me today and just like, hey, I hope you're having a good day, blah, blah, blah. That's it.
Yeah.
And to me, like, that's sweet. It's easy. It's not a whole lot. Like, putting in effort to me is so simple, but that alone makes me want to meet him. Like, I don't know much else about him, like, at all. But the fact that you're able to show up this way, that's the energy that I know I deserve. And that's the energy we all deserve. But again, it's what am I willing to accept? Like I gave a guy my number off. It was also off Bumble, maybe a week or two ago. We talked for a minute and then he's like, hey, I'm out of town right now. Can I have your number? Send it to him. His first message was, what's up? Or what are you doing? I didn't reply to him. Haven't talked to him since. Like, you're not trying to get to know me if that's your first text to me when we've only sent like 3 messages on Bumble. So, yeah.
Yeah. Allie wins, fatality, right? Get out of here. yeah. So, that's very interesting because I think just sending what's up in any, unless you really know the person, like that's so fucking cheeseball. It's so bad. Like grow up. I mean, even I wouldn't send that, right? Like what the fuck? So, okay. But you're a dating coach. You're on Bumble. You're on Hinge. There might have been another one in there that I'm not remembering.
No, those are the two.
Okay, cool. And so you're dating with intention. Like, what is your goal? Are you looking for a husband? Are you looking to settle down? Is that why you're out there, right? Okay, so you set that intention before you even go into the dating field. You're not looking 100%. For a good time. You're not looking. You're looking to, okay. So this is tricky because I think, where are you at with like your emotions, right? Cause even pros like yourself, like get fucking sidelined and like with emotion. So like if you have these boxes you need checked, right? Not in a bad way. It's just, you're doing your thing, not going to settle for less. I need this, this, and this, which we talked about what you need a little bit. But then like you come across somebody who doesn't, maybe checks like one out of the three and it's the middle one, not the top, not the bottom, but it's like the middle. And yet you're attracted to this gentleman, right? Like, physically, mentally, something still, like, how do you handle that? Do you need to like take a time out and talk to Allie in the mirror? Like what, how do you, cause I think this is a huge problem with people is just with, not even modern dating, just like fucking dating. And I bitch about it all the time, but like we have all the tools to do it, but we don't treat it like surgery. We treat it like, you know, Matthew McConaughey and whoever in a movie. So like, that's where I'm at. Like, how do you as a pro, do you like feel about, oh God, how do I handle this?
I ask myself, what would I tell my clients right now? Because I really want to stay in integrity because I'm human and it's easy to get caught up in like, oh, but he's really hot. Or, oh, but he makes me laugh. Or even like, oh, but he's such a good guy. There's potential, but he's not ready for a relationship. Like maybe I can wait. But then I ask myself, what would I tell my clients right now? And then I go do that thing. I know I need to. Or I imagine, what if my audience was watching this right now? What if this was being filmed and put live on TikTok? Would I be proud of staying with this guy? Would I be proud of the way I'm handling this conversation or interaction? And if I feel like it's not what I would recommend and it's not what I would be proud of, it and it feels out of integrity, then I step away from it. So that's what gives me the maybe strength in those situations where there's a little bit of like gray area and wiggle room. And sometimes even my advice to myself is like, just go on another date, figure it out, like give it another chance. And then other times it's a clear no. And it's a clear like, okay, let's just walk away from this and just kind of like save myself the pain. And that has done me so much good, because then it's less about me and my feelings and it's more about being in integrity and what feels right.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. Well, I mean, and you're a professional, but you're also a human being, right? Mortal, right? Mortal Kombat keeps coming back. Can you guess what the title of the episode is going to be? So you're also a human, right? Do you ever have moments where you do slip up, where you're like, man, you know what? I'm really attracted to this guy. I'm a human. I'm going to hook up with this guy. I'm going to make out with this guy. Or like, I know this probably won't work out, but like, I need to have fun too. Like, girls got a party. Like, do you ever have those moments?
For sure. Yeah, I'm okay. Human. Like, New Year's Eve, went to Vegas, made out with a hot Australian man that I was dreaming of all night. And it was like, and it was so funny because my friends and I, or my friend and I, we met some other people and were hanging out. And then when they got home, they added me on Instagram. And then they're like, oh my gosh, she's like this big dating coach and all this stuff. And I guess they were like laughing, like, that makes it even funnier that she was making out with that Australian dude. Like, I'm human, but it's more like that was fun. Or if I'm going to, I mean, I don't like do like casual hookups. Like that's not for me, but like I have somebody, if I want to have sex, like there's somebody I know and I'm going to go do that. But I do it very intentionally. You know, I do things when they feel in alignment. So I'm not going to go hook up with people if I know, like if I'm on a date, I'm not going to hook up with you. That's my personal thing. But if I've already decided ahead of time, like you are just this for me, like you're just friends with benefits, or you're just a hot guy I'm going to make out with in Vegas, then I've made peace with that. And I recommend that to my clients too. Like if you can find peace in just being friends with benefits with this dude while you date, like go do that. Like you have your own desires and needs, but it's about being super honest with yourself. Like if you have this like internal thing, like, well, I hope this turns into something, like you're fucking yourself over. So that's how I do things.
Well, no, I think that's fucking giant. And I fucking love that you shared that on the show with me, because I think that people do need to hear that, right? Like you can have friends with benefits and still date intentionally and like get what you fucking want, whether that's just sex or a relationship or whatever. You can be working at both, right? And you could have the things you need to have on the side. Everyone has something on the side, right? Usually. So like, but these people that are friends with benefits, or like your little side piece, whatever, like this person knows that they're a side piece, right? They know this friend.
My sister, she always calls it my sneaky link. She's like, oh, we're reading it with your sneaky link. I'm like, what the fuck does that even mean? Like, no, I was actually at the grocery store, but thank you for asking.
She's like, you're at the grocery store with your sneaky link? Oh my God.
Yeah, she does that all the time. She just likes to say sneaky link. I had to Google it. I had to look up Urban Dictionary.
It's a great term. It's a great term. Yeah, but like the sneaky link knows that he's a sneaky link, right?
Yes, 100%.
Okay. See, this is the thing, is people, they're not upfront about it because they feel like conflict, embarrassment. So what's your advice there? Just rip the bandaid off, be like, yo, bro, this is just a hookup thing. I'm actually on dating apps. Like, how much of the truth are you telling your sneaky link?
I have to send my sister this episode. She's going to die. The whole thing, I mean, I almost said sneaky link. Oh my God. My friends with benefits situation is one of my exes, but it's an ex that I do not, like, no offense to him if he's listening to this from somewhere.
Sure.
I don't have any feelings towards him in that way. Like, there's not like that deep romantic connection. And so him and I started talking again randomly months ago, and he knew I was dating because I was like, hey, just so you know, I'm like dating people, whatever. And he's like, oh, you can talk to me about like what's going on. I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, like you're a great person, like you deserve the best, and like I want to support you. And so I would like vent to him, and he still to this day knows, like, especially when I'm dating someone more seriously, I'll let him know like, hey, I'm dating somebody more seriously, just so you know, like this might end soon between us or whatever. And like I'm direct with anybody in my life because communication is so important. Like people say communication is important, but most people fucking suck at it. Most people who say how important communication is don't actually do it. And it drives me insane. So yeah, he 100% knows up front. And if you, whoever's listening, are in a situation where maybe the person you're hooking up with has a different idea about what's going on, or maybe you're wondering, what does this mean? What are we? Just say it. Just ask the question. Just put it out there, because especially like you don't want to be the one hurting somebody else. If they're catching feelings for you and you can sense that, especially back out of it. Like even if it's just fun for you, but you feel like, oh, he's starting to like me or she's starting to catch feelings, do yourselves both a favor and end it and find somebody who you can actually be casual with.
Yeah, because I think it's okay to do adult shit, right? This show is like pro adult shit, probably pro chaos, whatever, right? But the thing is like if you're going to do adult shit, be an adult about it. And even that sometimes, again, when there's emotions, you just really nailed it, because you said it's one thing to say communication overall, da 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 da, but then people like have trouble communicating, or they trick themselves into thinking, well, I told them enough, I don't need to tell them everything. No, tell them fucking everything. Like I had this like professor in college, and he's like, well, you tell the truth, you're bulletproof. It was the corniest fucking shit ever. But like we took it as, oh, we should be telling women like whatever, my friends and I, and like no one ever did that, and I did, right? I still got into tons of trouble, but like it wasn't the amount of trouble that all my friends were in, because I had told the truth. Doesn't mean people are gonna like it, doesn't mean people are gonna whatever, but I just think if you want to do adult shit, you gotta fucking act like an adult a little bit. So like that sounds like what you're saying, which is great. It's fucking awesome.
And people respect you more. And I think you end up respecting yourself more. Like, I am so okay with somebody just being honest. Like, hey, I'm just looking for somebody to hook up with. I'm going to probably say, I know I'm going to say no to you, but I can respect that. Like, okay, good for you. Thank you for telling me up front. Go do your thing. Go find whoever you want to find. But if you are leading somebody on, or you're giving those mixed signals, like, you're not being a good person. And it's very easy to do that because it's more comfortable. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings, or we don't want to risk them changing their mind and being like, oh, I can't do this anymore. But that's super selfish. Like, there are people out there who would be happy to have sex with you with no strings attached. Go find somebody who's willing to do that. And I feel like it's easiest if people are like, how do you do and not catch feelings? Do somebody that you don't have like a deep mental emotional connection to, like somebody you purely have physical attraction for over everything, because then it will be very hard to develop deeper feelings. So don't screw yourself over if like you really like all things about somebody.
So maybe avoid the dreamy Australian dudes in Las Vegas on New Year's Eve.
No, I couldn't take him seriously. He would have been a great hookup. He would have been great. God.
Okay, so I hope that they're taking notes, because that was like a masterclass in how to like hook up and like get away with it in terms of not crushing someone's feelings and hopes and dreams. But like back to like the dating, right? So, and just ballpark, like how many matches would you say you get a month? How many people are you talking with a month? I mean, it's again ballpark, right?
Ooh, absolutely no idea. I would say, especially because recently I was seeing someone for like 3.5-ish months. And right. So I was on dating apps still and kind of went on a date here or there in between, but I was putting more energy into that guy than I was on dating apps. So I'm kind of just getting back into like getting on. So I have no idea.
Okay, so let's say, I don't know, ballpark. Let's just say you match with, and this is, I'm gonna lowball this, but like okay. You match with 20 dudes, right? You talk with 20 dudes, let's say 10 of them suck, right? They're like, hey, what's up? Like fucking, you know, whatever. So there's 10 left. You really kind of vibe with like 5, right? So out of those 5, how many do you wind up on dates? Are you going on a lot of dates? Is it like sporadic? Is it more of like a practice? Like, okay, one date a week, 2 dates a week. Like, I know like a lot of different dating coaches are just different about it. And that's why I'm just wondering like where you're at, like how many first dates do you go on per month? Would you say?
Ooh, per month, maybe just a couple. Cause it's not, I don't want to sound like egotistical or anything, but I could go on way more if I really wanted to, sure. I really tried, yeah. But I am usually focused primarily on like one or two people and then going on like a couple first dates here and there. But like, if you really want to go all in, I say if for a first date, if it's not a hell no, say yes. that's how I pretty much am with first dates. Like if you have, because it's so rare, it really is. Like women know this. It is so rare for a man to straight up just ask you out. Like you could talk to somebody and then it go absolutely nowhere majority of the time. So if I'm attracted to a guy physically from the dating apps, or I think I might be, he is a decent enough conversationalist over the dating app and he asks me out, that for me is usually enough to say yes for the first date. I'm a lot pickier with second dates, but for a first date, I feel like pretty open-minded about it. And I think that's for the best because it's hard to really know somebody over an app, but I'm not like, how many first dates can I go on this week? But I think for some people, it is good to do that. Like go on a first date every weekend or whatever you need to do.
Yeah, no, I think that's giant because I think there seems to be two different, what I'm discovering with this show recently is there seems to be two different types. There's dating to like go after a certain thing, which is what it sounds like you're doing, right? And then there's dating like just to have the experience of dating. And if you find something you like, great. Maybe you learn how to speak a little Romanian or something on a date, and or you learn how to burn a pork chop on another. You have those experiences and you kind of move on, right? And so I'm fascinated by both. I would tend to say if I were dating, I would be in the second category. It wouldn't be in the category you're in, which means like two different tracks. I mean, there's probably stuff in the middle, but that's what I'm seeing, right? So mm-hmm. I wanted to ask because I think depending on what you want, I feel like it would sort of speak to how many dates you're going on per week, per month, like whatever, right? And true. No one should feel bad for going on zero dates. No one should feel bad for going on 101 dates. It's just where you're at, right? So like, but I do want to jump back to, okay, so you were with this guy, you're dating, seeing this guy. Is this where we're
Wait,
saying
that you're,
the 3.5 month guy?
Yes, okay? Yes.
Okay. So you were seeing this guy, but you were still on dating apps. You were still dating. Okay. This is interesting. He knew all of that. You were going on dates with other people. Was he going on dates with other people?
I'm going to have to send him this podcast after. So I'll break it down a little bit. At first when we met, like we were just going out like once a week. It was really good. It was a very slow build up, but it was like a really, really solid connection. Like more than anything, this guy and I became best friends.
You met on
Bumble?
And
we got a Hinge. And maybe a month and a half-ish in, 2 months, I don't know, I hit this point where I was like, is this going anywhere? Like I knew he wanted a relationship. I knew I wanted a relationship. I had a pretty strong feeling he wasn't dating anyone else. I don't think I was going out with anyone else either. And so I'm like, okay, we're going to have this conversation. And I felt like he was always a little bit more shy. And so I'm like, I'll just initiate it, see what he says. And also I just told a client this like right before we got on here. You don't need to ask somebody, what are we? Where do we stand? Don't give anybody that much power. Just ask somebody where they stand. How do they feel? What would they like to happen? But anyways, that's the conversation we had. And we both made it clear that we really liked each other. We saw some kind of future, but he also made it clear that he was a little avoidant emotionally and he wasn't fully ready to prioritize me and make me number one and be in a relationship. And so in that moment I said, well, something along the lines of like, that's a bummer. Like, I really like you and I don't really want to date other people at all, but I'm looking for my husband. I want to have children. I want to have a family. And if you're not ready to give me that, like, I'm not going to push and force you into it. I would hope for that. But until then, I am going to date other people. And you basically told me like, yeah, that hurts. Like, I don't like to hear that, but I can't stop you. You know, it's fair for you to do that because I'm not able to give you everything right now. And I think that definitely like changed our dynamic a little bit over the next like month and a half or whatever the time frame was. But I had to be honest with him, and he had, because for some people they step it up from there. They're like, oh shit, she's dating other people. Like, I'm going to step it up because I don't want anyone else to have her. But if you're not doing that, then you are literally throwing me out to the world saying, oh, somebody else can have her. Like, and it's nothing bad against him or anybody else in that position. Like, sometimes you're just not ready to fully commit for a relationship when you thought you were. But I am so upfront. I always tell people, be upfront. Like, you don't need to start out a date like, hey, just so you know, I'm going to date other people. But when the time comes to have that conversation, put it out there, see how they react, and have a conversation about it. Because even in saying that, somebody might be like, wait, I don't want you to do that. Let's talk about this again. Like, let's continue to do it just us or whatever. So it's always worth saying.
Yeah. So, okay. So why tell him I'm going to go date other people instead of just like ending it when you knew he was, were you hoping that he would say, oh, no, wait, I'll shape it up. I want to be with you. Was that the hope that he would do that? Or?
Yeah. I mean, the hope was definitely there, but I didn't end it there because it didn't feel right to end it there. Like, to this moment, this was like the most good guy I think I've ever been with. I don't even know if that's the way to put it, but he's like a genuinely good person. And on top of that, we had an amazing connection. And he wasn't saying like, I never want to be in a relationship with you. He wasn't saying like, I don't want a relationship at all. He wasn't saying, I don't like you. He was more just like, I need to take things a lot slower. Like, because for him, the connection that he's just slower to make deep connections with other people, which is typical of avoidant attachment. So he's like, maybe in a few more months or longer, then I'll be ready. And that's why I was like, I'm about to be 30. I'm not banking on maybe you'll be ready in 5 months. So that's why I didn't end it there. I was just going to see how things unfolded naturally. And then we got to a breaking point where I was like, this is not working out. And then, you know, we talked it out and he agreed. And it was, you know, it was a very like soft, kind of sad ending. But at the same time, we both knew that I had to be intentional with it. And he respected that, which is another good guy thing.
Well, thanks for sharing that, because I think, you know, for as Mortal Kombat as I classified you throughout this episode, right? That's important to get on the record, because you would think you'd just be like, nah, fuck that or whatever, finish him, right? Again, like, see you later. But you didn't. You actually were somewhat invested. It sounds like emotionally hopeful, right? That this, he would turn it around, and you gave him a shot. Like, what did that last? A couple more weeks or something? And then you just figured this
longer.
Was gonna, okay.
Yeah. Longer. I think it was maybe another month and a half at least. And I do like that you pointed that out, because there is so much nuance that people don't understand that. And I tell my clients this all the time. Like, even if you look at all my TikTok videos, like, I know my TikTok videos are very helpful to raise your standards and gain confidence and know your worth. But there's gray area that I don't have time for in a 60-second TikTok video, where I can't be like, but in this situation, it's different. But if that, it's different. No, you have to learn to have that judgment yourself and trust your own intuition. Because in most situations, if a guy was like, yeah, I don't really know, I'm not really ready for a relationship, I would be like, well, fuck off, goodbye. Like, and I would end it. But with him, there was a lot of nuance, because he was so great at communicating. So consistent, so empathetic and compassionate and kind and such a gentleman and like just a good friend. And he also ultimately wanted a relationship. So that was the gray area that changed my judgment. And so we all have to be really discerning in that, rather than like, oh, Allie or somebody else online said this, so it always has to be that. Like, I even had a client right before this session too, where she's been seeing this guy. And he's great. And like, I've worked with this client for a while, so I've also seen her date not so great people. And I've seen her be love bombed. I've seen all the things. And this guy's been really good. And she happens to be like visiting her parents today. And he lives closer to her parents. And then, because they have like a distance or whatever. And she's like, I kind of want to text him to see if he can, you know, come out. But like, I don't know. I don't want to be the one planning the dates. And I was like, if you're looking for permission to text him and ask if he wants to meet for dinner, because you're in the area, I'm giving you permission. She's like, oh, really? Okay. And I'm like, yes, you're in town. Like, you don't have to plan the whole date. You don't have to do this every time. But there's gray area, and that's one of them. So we do have to be really discerning and trust our own instincts when it comes to this stuff.
And see, that's exactly why I asked you back on the show, because I wanted to get to the gray, the stuff that you can't put in the fucking 60-second TikToks. And you're right, that shit is awesome. Like, just quick little tips or whatever. But a lot of it, I think the more we move into like, you know, the 60-second content, the 15-second content, whatever, right? The more there's a need for the long form over the short form. I think you need both. And so that's why I asked you back, is to get shit like this. Cause I think like I said, most people, myself included, would just assume that when a problem presented itself, we touched on the emotional stuff, we touched on the fact that you're a human, that you're a dating coach, you're all these things. But like when it comes to that thing where it's like, it's not where I want it, that you would just like, you know, take out the weapon and sever the tie, whatever. And you didn't. You were actually, you gave it a chance to like grow in where you wanted it to, whatever. And I think that's really important because a lot of people are really cutthroat. And I think sometimes, what the fuck do I know? I'm a fucking podcast dude. But like, I think sometimes you can cut a great opportunity out on accident and think that you're doing it to be like, you know, fucking a G money boss bitch, whatever. And you just kind of fucked yourself. Like I've done that before. I've totally shattered something that had I been more patient, had I given it a little bit more, cause I can get really cutthroat that way. I can just cut shit off at the knees. And like, it's a great protection mechanism, but it doesn't always work. So I'm really glad that you said that.
What was the thing that you had mentioned earlier? You said that there's a certain type of girl that's attracted to you and you were curious why. What is that?
So, and this is coming up a lot now because my girlfriend and I, we did episode 50 together and the episode is titled "I Stole Someone's Fiance" because she was actually on the show. In episode 19, she was engaged, and now it's episode 50, and her and I are together. She's no longer engaged. But
oh my God, I have to listen to this.
Yes, for sure. So I would say for me, women who are taken just gravitate to me constantly. And it's been a thing for like a really long time. And like, sure, you know, I was a nightclub promoter for 10 years and did all that. And everybody knows all the fun and exciting things that come with that. And I loved it. It was great. It was amazing. But for me, like my little kink is not going into a relationship and stealing someone. I could give a fuck less. It's that to me, it's if someone crosses that line on their own where I'm like, oh wow, like you do realize you have a husband. You do realize you have a boyfriend. You do realize you're taken and I'm not that person. And if they still cross over, I think that's a turn on. I'm great with it. I, as you would say, I allow it. Right. And you know, it's been the topic of conversation on this show a little bit in my current relationship, but like why taken women would gravitate to me so much, like for so many years or whatever. So that would be my type of woman.
That's interesting.
It really is. There's a lot there too. So
that is, that's really interesting. I can't think of any like psychological theories at the top of my head, but it's fascinating and I'm glad it's working out for you. I hope her ex-fiance is okay.
Yeah, I actually had to call him up on the phone and, you know, ask him to stop calling my girlfriend. So, you know, two weeks ago, episode 50 was kind of a wild time. You can still see like the lovely comments and like all of the things. I encourage everyone to go to YouTube. I've got a ton of emails that I might publish from someone. We'll see what happens, you know, but there was a lot of drama, but like I knew what I was doing titling the episode that way. And also too, like, you know, I think like you said, like we're talking about in this episode, it's important to be fucking real. Like who you are is who you are. Like the more you try to hide that, I'm just not interested in that. I never claim to be a hero. I never claim to be a villain, although I think villains are more interesting. I'm in the gray myself. And I think that's the most interesting place to be because we all sort of operate there and nobody wants to talk about it. So that's one thing I wanted to do with this podcast is just be really fucking open.
Cause it's relatable, you know, like that's what I hear from most of my clients too. When they first sign up with me, they feel like they already know me and they're like, I can't believe how much you're sharing. Because to me, nobody wants to just hear like an expert who read a textbook. Like that's not fun. It's not relatable. It feels like I can't be like them because I'm not them. But if I tell you, like my first podcast episode was my codependent story from a 5-year relationship I had where I'm talking about like how hard it was for me to leave. And like, I loved him, but I should have left him and I didn't know how and all the problems we had. Like, I want people to know that I didn't always date as smart as I do now. Like, and I have so many more stories to share with it too. And if we hold them back just to like pretend that everything's good and we are just, I don't know, have our shit together. Yeah. People might find it somewhat interesting, but people are fascinated by real stories because real stories come from real people.
Exactly. And everybody has a real story, right? And it's like, maybe they're not willing to talk about it. And like, we're talking about a little bit of yours, how you live your life today on this episode. And I think to me, that's what was interesting is like to tell the truth, but from the person who's living it, you know what I mean? And then again, like the value, you just pull the value like right out of that for people, because come on. I mean, there is nothing more interesting than the truth. And I also think like, you know, in a world full of liars, like telling the truth at this point in history is like the most fucking rebellious thing you can do, you know? And so that's something that I will always do. And it doesn't always mean like some of the nasty messages that were really like crazy messages that my girlfriend got from another woman. Like I took them and had her send them to me and took the screenshot and then like put it up on social and like used it for marketing. And it was really terrible shit about myself, but like, I don't fucking care, because at the end of the day, it all shakes out and we only are who we are. And so, you know, for that reason, I'm fucking in, you know, and that's what I want to do.
And then you find your people that way.
True.
When you're being, because you're going to scare some people off, you're going to bother some people, you're going to piss some people off, you're going to offend them. Cool. They're not for you anyways.
Exactly.
But the more real you are, the more you're going to find people who naturally gravitate towards you and your energy and your message and your story and your personality. And those are the kind of people you want around anyways.
Yeah, totally. And nobody is all one thing. You know, I mean, the best intentions are one thing, sure, but it's how are they acting versus, you know, what they're saying. That's like, and I can say that a million times and no one will listen to me, but literally watch someone's actions. Someone can say they're a bad guy, but they're doing good shit. Someone can say they're a good guy, but they're doing bad shit. It's what they do, not what they say, you know, myself included. So it's like all of those things.
Before you say that, I'm going to make an exception for that, because I just talked about this with someone yesterday. Typically, yes, actions over words, 100%, unless you are dating somebody whose actions are great, but they're telling you, but I don't want to be with you, or I don't want to be in a relationship, because sometimes people use that as an excuse. They're like, oh, he's saying he doesn't want to be in a relationship with me. He says he doesn't really see anything with me, but he's taking me out on dates. He took me to meet his friends. He let me sleep over and cuddle him all night, but he's telling you he doesn't want to be with you. He doesn't want to be with you. So that is the only exception can think of where actions don't trump words, but.
No, I agree. I agree. And speaking of actions, right? You had a set of reels, but also TikToks, I believe, right? Where it was five things you won't do if you're dating someone, but they're not your boyfriend. You did a part one and a part two. I'm not going to go through all of them, but a couple, like these are things that you won't do with people if they're not your boyfriend, right? Okay, so just some of the highlights, right? And I encourage everyone to go watch your reels, because I think those are two of my favorite that you did, because I think they're fucking great. Cuddle nights, for real, these are serious. Like, so you won't cuddle with a guy unless
it's hard.
I was gonna say, what the fuck?
It's hard. And let me clarify here, even like a gray area for this. The guy I was seeing for a few months, like, we cuddled, but like in his car while we were talking, while he dropped me off. But I'm not going to like go to your place. And it's only, and there's nothing wrong with it. Like if you want to go and cuddle somebody that's not your boyfriend, but and again, I say dating, but not your boyfriend. Like if you just want to cuddle or whatever you want to do.
Sure.
But for me, there's so much oxytocin released when you're cuddling. It starts to feel like this is my boyfriend. It feels more serious than it might actually be. And so I don't need that chemical rush of oxytocin to attach me further to somebody who may not be committed to me. So that's why I do that.
Okay. And then the next one was sleep together. Are we talking about sex or like sleeping in the same bed or both? Because again, I feel like there's
more sex. And again, that's people I'm dating, but not my boyfriend. So I could go have sex with whoever. But I mean, if we're dating, and it's the same thing, the oxytocin thing. Like, I don't need to feel like we're in a relationship if we're not.
Okay. So if you're dating someone a couple of dates in, then there's no sex there. But then can you just decide to like, oh, that rules out the window? Or like, how are you going back to the friends with benefit, or do your sneaky link, or like, how is that working?
I feel like I'm always open-minded to changing my own rules if my intuition feels right. Like, I have done these things before, like, especially in the past. I'd be like, sex on a first date, whatever. But like even earlier this year, I was dating somebody for a few months. He was never my boyfriend, but I think it was the third date we had sex, and then we cuddled and he stayed the night or whatever, and it was good.
You broke but all like, three, yeah.
Yeah, I did all of them. But then after that, I was like, oh yeah, that's why I had that rule, you know, yeah. Because I broke it temporarily. I was like, fuck it. But then that was hard when it ended, because I felt like he was my boyfriend because we were only seeing each other and all these things. So I'm always open-minded to changing my own rules, but I know how I'm setting myself up to not feel so good if it doesn't work out.
Sure,
so
yeah.
That's why I try not to break them.
Well, just because I feel like, you know, you said a couple times like dating for a few months, right? So a lot of people are like, wait a minute, like how are you not having sex in a matter of months? And that's fine if some people do that, some people don't, whatever, to each their own. But so the dating period ends when you both decide that he's your boyfriend then, and then it's a whole other, okay.
Yeah. That's when I'm like free game. And after a few months, if you're still not my boyfriend, I don't want to be with you anymore, you know, because there is like a time limit for me.
Sure.
And I think for most people. So yeah, I mean, it's hard to hold off for that long for sure, but it also gives me something to look forward to and gives you, I think it makes it that much more enjoyable. Like the whole time when I was dating that other guy, the one that we just ended recently, I was thinking, yeah, no, we haven't had sex. It's been like 3.5 months, but I'm like, if and when we do, it's going to be fucking awesome. Because there was this long buildup that I've never had in my life that I'm like, oh shit, like this might be the best sex of my life if we ever get there. So I feel like that's like the fun benefit of it too.
Were you scared then to have sex? Because then it would be like, oh man, this is amazing. Or you were definitely going to hold out until he was the boyfriend to have sex?
I was definitely going to hold out. And I bet I would have been a little nervous, but more so because of the buildup. Like,
sure.
And I feel like it would have been very real. You know, like if you're having sex with someone early on, it could just be fun and light and like whatever. But if you're waiting 3.5 months and you've had all these deep conversations and all this time spent together and you build up this connection and friendship, and then you have sex after 4 months, it's like that's a different kind of sex. And I knew that. So I probably would have been a little nervous for that level of intensity.
So then truly, if you're working on establishing a connection with someone for a couple of months, no sex, because like that's something you strive to do at least, right? And then if you want to hook up with somebody, then you are calling the sneaky link on another night, right? Because that's servicing that need. You're still like focused eye on the ball over here. See, this is awesome, because you basically just gave everybody permission to do that, right? And they should feel better about it. I think that's fucking great.
Yeah, because you get the best of both worlds. Like, I have all the needs met, and I'm not, like, screwing anybody over, but I still feel good. And then I'm ready to end with that guy when need be, once I find a relationship. I've told him, like, second I get into a relationship, like, this has to stop. We can only be friends, or you're going to be blocked. And who knows if you'll be able to hold out. I don't know, but I feel like it's the best way to go about it. But everyone's different. Like some people, there are so many success stories where it's like, yeah, we hooked up the first night after our first date and we've been married for 17 years. Like it happens. It's not for me anymore. And so you have to figure out what's right for you.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, they heard it here from you. Allie just wrote you the permission slip. Call the sneaky link. Allie McDonald, thank you for being on Sex Party with me. Let's remind them where they can hang out with you, where they can buy all your awesome stuff.
I'm primarily on TikTok at Dating with Allie. Allie is A-L-Y. I'm also on Instagram. And then I have a new podcast that I clearly couldn't even remember the name of. It's called Girl, It's a Mess on Spotify and Apple. And then if you want to work with me, all the links are in my TikTok bio or my Instagram bio.
And everything will be linked per usual. Thank you so much for being here. I have a feeling you'll be back sooner than later. So, you know, they can look forward to that.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Big thank you to my guest this week, Allie McDonald, for coming back to Sex Party and chatting with me. So much fun. Ton of value there. Make sure you go check out her new podcast. If you guys are enjoying guests like Allie, if you want more guests like Allie, if you want Allie to come back, if you want to continue down Sex Party Lane, there is a couple different ways you can say those things. You can show that appreciation. If you're listening on platforms like Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, iHeart, you can subscribe to the show. That's the most important part. That is the most important part. You can leave a rating. You can leave a review. You can recommend it to your friends. You could yell it out the window as you drive by the mall or a Barnes and Noble. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on YouTube, I love you. Hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you're watching on YouTube, you can like the video, you can subscribe to the channel, you can leave a comment. You guys know where to find me. You can reach out in the DMs on Instagram anytime. And as always, I will see you back here next week.
Thanks for listening. The party continues next week. Click subscribe and let's make this a regular thing. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter @SexPartyFM. Follow Dustin @DustinRibka.